Jim, 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 Jim.
Text message from Friday said, there's nothing better than hearing your growl each and every night, Jim. So sexy. And I love spending the time with that growly, gravelly voice. Signed, Gary. Thanks, Gary. The Grammys. Don't get me started about the Grammys. I don't want to talk about the... We have a guest on the Grammys later? Of course, man. It is going to be so great. Did you watch? You didn't watch? So why are we talking about it? That is a very good question. Maybe because nobody had anything better to do. They watched it last night, and maybe that's the same reason you hosted it last night. Bad Bunny gave his acceptance speech in English and in Spanish. Later on, a death-defying attempt by Jim Richards to try to guess if he knows a Bad Bunny song, if he hears one. You'll hear that later on. That's the Evel Knievel kind of stuff. That's later on, only on this, the Feel Good Edition. But Bad Bunny, man. Let me get back to Bad Bunny. His speech in English and in Spanish, and I'm sure my mom was down in Florida screaming at the TV, build the wall, build the wall. Oh, my mom. And was it appropriate that the Grammys did? I love my favorite segment of any award show is like the montage of dead people. Why didn't they have Madonna's career in there? What an observation, Jim. Hope Gary loved that one. I'm Jim Richards.
News Talk Tonight is on with your host, Jim Richards, on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Tony, did you just print the internet on this printer that is essentially adjacent to me? If you're wondering why it didn't come out of your printer, 1 million pages just all of a sudden. Does the microphone pick that up when the machine's going? It's a lot. You could hear that? Print something else. Print something else. I want to hear.
This goes to show you hard I work.
Okay, yeah.
A million pages your show.
Hard you're working in the wrong direction. Let's print out a million. Is this the lineup? Is that what that is?
That's
print something again. I want to see how loud the printer is. This is not planned. Like there's somebody getting into radio going, did they plan this? How is, like, what an idea. Are you trying to print something else right now? Like, please print something so I can hear how they put the printer right next to the microphone. And I'm just wondering, because I've always been on air and people are like, you fidget too much. You can hear you wrestle your papers. You can hear your mic. Can you hear the machine? You can? Okay, everybody can hear the machine. Doesn't matter. I make enough noise with my big mouth that nobody's going to care. Oh, papers spilling out all over the floor. I mean, I don't know why they... Okay, they're spilling out all over the floor, and there you go. The internet printed out twice in one night by our content producer, whose name is Tony. All right, a couple of things that I want to talk about. I have some great ideas. Oh, but by the way, a segment a little bit later on in the show, what is your brush with fame that put you on TV? Text us at 71010. 4 or 5 lucky winners will receive a call back and will be able to appear live on News Talk Tonight. That's the prize. If you text us now what your brush with fame actually was, maybe you were on a game show, maybe you witnessed a murder and you talked to the local news team, maybe you were at a baseball game with another radio host and the camera focused on you coming back from commercial and everybody immediately texted you, why are you on your phone? Because maybe during the commercial break, there is no baseball going on. But that happened to me and Jerry Agar from the Toronto station twice when we were at a baseball game. We were caught coming back from break. We were both on our phone, and everybody immediately texted us, hey, you guys went to the baseball game and are on your phone? Yeah, because during the commercial break, there is no baseball going on. That was a hard one to explain to people, but one of my brushes with fame. So text us at 71010, your brush with fame. And again, five lucky texters will be able to appear live on the show later on. What a another brush with fame. Unbelievable. 71010, what was your brush with fame? We have people standing by reading the text board, and they'll be able to pick the best ones. What was I? I was actually on a late night talk show once as a guest. And I was like, they called me and they're like, hey, would you like to be on this prestigious late night talk show? And I was like, sure, I would as a guest. And they're like, yeah, we really want you on. And I was like, okay, what day? And they were like, can you be here in 40 minutes? And I was like, who canceled? Because clearly, I mean, you're a big talk show. They don't like get guests 5 minutes before the show's about to record. And I was like, who canceled? And I found out it was some sort of high school kid who won some science fair that I was, they thought of me after some random high school kid who won a science fair. And that was my brush with fame. Okay, lots of things to talk about today, including whether or not you think this is a good idea.
Smarty, a connected smart brief connecting real-time health information and sharing it instantaneously with
caregivers. I should tell you, this is a smart diaper that will send out a notification if your kid does something in the diaper.
Smarty, a connected smart brief connecting real-time health information and sharing it instantaneously with caregivers and family members. It can alert the staff when a patient's brief or diaper is wet or soiled. Monitor for abnormal body movement, abnormalities in the urine, temperature changes, and more. The Bluetooth-enabled Smarty Pup attaches to a disposable adult brief or diaper with built-in sensors that detect conditions and provides alerts instantaneously.
Not my intention to play those sound effects, although I take, well, usually when those sound effects get played, I throw the board operator under the bus. I just don't know what the hell those notifications would be. What would they be? They would, because apparently they can sense the level of dirtiness from, oh, that's a little tinkle, to, holy hell, we got to get a shovel out for this one. And the thing is made of a circuit board. Tell me if you want this on your kid. It contains sodium chloride, which is salt, graphite, a circuit board, and a lithium battery. Do you want that on your kid? Does that sound like it's a smart diaper for a dumb parent? Who maybe I'm being mean, maybe this parent in this case doesn't have the ability to smell or is nowhere near their kid. But a smart diaper? No, not too smart. I was reading earlier that this smart diaper gave this new movie with the blue people. What's that movie called? What is it again?
Avatar.
Gave Avatar 2 thumbs up. How smart can you be? That's what the smart diaper gave that movie. And it also, the smart diaper also likes Nickelback, which is kind of convenient because this does sound like the latest Nickelback song. But is that the notification that it sends to your phone? I don't know. But you know me, I decided to do one thing when it comes to a news story like this. And I am going to now, what did I decide to do?
Read the comments.
Exactly.
Read the comments.
Smart diaper. Why the heck do you need your phone to check a diaper? These parents seem like maybe you should put down your phone and pay attention to your kid. Yes, I agree with that. Somebody also says, well, maybe Biden needs this and the Secret Service should buy it. I don't know. Look at Trump. Like, because I pay really... look at Trump around his trouser area, because I have. Doesn't he look really lumpy around that area? Like he's wearing something underneath there? Anyway, this is lazy parenting, I think, at its best. The Rundown is next here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.
This is News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Here to help, folks, with a segment called, it's called Here to Help. In a half an hour segment, Here to Help, we'll break down why your insurance company might break up with you and what you can do to make sure that your relationship with your insurance company, we're talking mostly about cars, can stay intact. Ah, it's got to hurt when the insurance company breaks up with you. That is coming up in a half an hour. Give or take a minute or two, please. I remember a radio station once got in trouble because they're like, in a moment, another 40 minutes nonstop. And I think they only went 37 minutes nonstop. And somebody complained to the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council and they got their knuckles wrapped. I need a knuckle wrapping. If it means getting my name in the news and a knuckle wrapping, I don't want to get fired. I don't want to do something bad that gets fired, but a knuckle wrapping is something that'll get you in the news. And then you know what you are? You're one of the bad boys of talk radio. And who doesn't want to be one of the bad boys of talk radio? Do you not want to be one of the bad boys of talk radio? I certainly already am. But I mean, I've gone a long way without getting a knuckle wrap. And so maybe I need to get a knuckle wrap in real quick. Here's some people. I don't know if, Laura, have you ever got a knuckle wrapping in your broadcasting, Power Group Communications, and host of the O Show and contributor to the iHeart Talk Radio Network?
Not really. I mean, I've had a lot of public thrashing, but never really a knuckle wrap.
You're the by the book communications expert.
The bad girl of Hamilton.
What did you ever get? Mike Haycook is with us as well from the morning show on AM 800 in Windsor. Mike, what did you ever get in trouble for in your broadcasting career? Ever get a good knuckle wrapping?
Yeah, a few times. Yeah, a few complaints over the years about a few comments here and there. Nothing specific I'd like to get into this evening, though.
All right. Okay. I could get into mine, but you're right. We're here for different reasons. Guys, I want to start off with something that might be a little controversial, but I'm going to skip ahead four topics. We're going to go back to the other topics, but this one I heard the local station in Toronto talking about, and I thought it was an interesting conversation. Most Canadians agree that Canada is broken and they're angry about it. I think it depends on who you ask, Laura, and how they would define that.
Well, that's the problem for Trudeau, is that it is being defined by Poilievre, and the question itself to people goes along with the narrative that Poilievre's been pushing. So when you have Trudeau having to say, we're not broken, Canada's not broken, he's already on the defensive. Basically, Poilievre's already got him on the ropes. Yeah. From a communications point of view, he's lost the narrative on this. Now, in the study, you know, you can say, oh, it's probably like old curmudgeon guy on the porch kind of thing. But no, actually, it's women, it's younger demographics. And how can Canadians not feel that way with the crisis in healthcare and the crisis in affordable housing that the O Show did a special on this week? It's devastating. Is it Trudeau's fault? Not necessarily, right? There's a lot of factors at play. The war in Ukraine, inflation, COVID, all kinds of stuff. But when you've got the other guy putting it out there that it's broken and it's his fault, that's an easy narrative to win an election on.
Yeah, it's smart politicking, that is for sure, that Justin Trudeau and the fact that inflation is out of control, worse in places like the States and the EU. But that's how powerful Justin Trudeau is around the world. His influence with this inflation worldwide. But I think Canada, it's easy to say Canada is broken because we're so divided on so many things and so many, it's unaffordable to live in any major metropolis, Mike.
Well, that's true. But I mean, like, I'm kind of like echoing what you were saying, Jim. Like, this is a worldwide problem. I mean, maybe some things are worse here and other things aren't as bad. But I think we have a divided country right now more than ever before. I mean, we've seen this since the beginning of COVID and then through the protests last year in Ottawa, here in Windsor, in Alberta. I think we have a division problem more than we have a broken issue in this country. And I think Poilievre, Laura, you're right. I mean, he's played it to a T. He's played it to his advantage and put Trudeau on the defensive about this.
I do think Trudeau is a problem, and the bigger problem maybe for his own party. That's how much of a problem I do think he is, Laura.
Well, certainly he has been kind of a magic thing for the Liberals for quite a while. And he looked as though he could, especially with the deal with Jagmeet, that he could, you know, kind of do this on his own terms. But given how well, I mean, Trudeau wasn't running against anything that could really oppose him. The last few conservative leaders couldn't really find a narrative that worked. Obviously, we've seen Poilievre line up with some people who truly hate Trudeau, pick up on what I think are some rather disturbing themes from American politics that I don't think help Canada in the short or long term, but nevertheless, they're successful populist politics. And so he's managed to frame Trudeau as the problem as the individual. So his party's got to be looking at it now, the Liberals, and saying, is this the time for Freeland or somebody else to step up just to take some of the heat off the party? I think Trudeau's the most vulnerable he's been.
Yeah, he
seems to want to keep going, though, doesn't he? Like, yeah. Three elections, you won, like, call it a day and hand it over to someone else, Mark Carney or Chrystia Freeland, who was here in Windsor today, and let's move on. But it seems like he wants to go for one more.
An opinion piece in the Globe and Mail, or did you want to say something there, Laura?
I was just going to say, he's my age, right? So, you know, the best years of my career are still ahead of me. I can understand
why. He's that young?
Spring chicken.
Yeah, he is not that. There's no way he's that young.
Oh, you're so sweet. But, you know, like, why would he want to give up the power at this point? I can understand his energy for the job, but that doesn't mean it's strategically the right move.
Okay. An opinion piece in the Globe and Mail. Why is the government spending $21 million on advertising on social media, such as TikTok? It's interesting. Earlier today on the iHeartRadio Network, the person who wrote the piece, her point wasn't necessarily like, hey, why are we spending money? But why are we kind of, there seemed to be a conflict of interest when you're spending a lot of money on people who you should be regulating, meaning the Googles and the YouTubes and all that kind of stuff. She was wondering if there was a conflict there. But I think people might look at that $21 million and think, what is that all about? Well, $140 million in its entirety, and I guess everything political is political, meaning that are these liberal-friendly advertisements, or is this to let everybody know about programs that they can apply for and how you can get help and this and that? So I would say that social media is where eyeballs are, and maybe not advertise in, I don't know, newspapers, but definitely podcasts and most, I mean, I'm unbiased, but make sure the government advertises on the iHeart Talk radio network for sure.
Here.
But $21 million on social media, if that's where eyeballs and ears are, Mike, isn't, I don't know that out of a $140 million budget that's the problem.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, TikTok, there's so many concerns about it, about what information they're harvesting from people, and it's a Chinese-run app and company. But you know what? Get off the web. Get off every social media if you're worried about your personal data being exploited, because that's how they make money. That's why we don't pay for Facebook and pay for TikTok and stuff like that. And I think you're right, Jim. I mean, that's where the eyeballs are. And if they want to reach a younger demographic with their programs and with their messages they want to get out, whatever aspect of the government, whatever programs they're running, TikTok's the way to go. Yeah. It seems like right now it's the new hotness.
But that $21 million is on social media. The headline, I'm not sure why they picked TikTok, maybe because they know of the Chinese connection and people are going to go crazy. But the $21 million isn't specifically on TikTok, Laura.
It isn't. And when you break it down, it's like 1.4 million or something on TikTok. So it's a TikTok. So it's a little bit misleading, right? It's trying to catch on all this hype around the balloon in China and everything else. TikTok's worrisome. Yeah, I mean, but I'm just saying, you know, it's a tent peg in public relations. If there's a big story about something and you can tag another story to it, then you're halfway there. So China is the tent peg this week. But here, listen, the TikTok thing, the expenditures, nothing. It's an absolute drop in the bucket. And if there are programs geared at a younger demo, then that's absolutely where they are. My concern, you know, is not so much about the Chinese spyware in TikTok or whatever the allegations are, because as you point out, we give up so much of our intel anyway all the time. time. I think it's good, though, that the government is spending this money, which, again, is hardly anything, on this advertising on social, because there's a lot of things happening on social media that are leading to problems in this country. And if the government's not there with their counter narrative, then we're in trouble.
Including following Laura Babcock and Mike Haycook on Twitter. They're back in a matter of moments with their final takes and more of some of the headlines on this Monday, February the 6th.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and News Talk Tonight continues with Jim Richards.
How not to break up with your insurance company if you have a car and you like being insured, then do I have a segment for you? And it happens across the iHeartTalk Radio Network in about 15 minutes time. We are about 7 minutes time from the final takes from Mike Haycook, who's the co-host of The Morning Drive on AM 800 in Windsor. Laura Babcock is younger than Trudeau. Younger than Trudeau. That's how young she is. Power Group Communications and the host of the Can You Believe How Young She Is show, the O Show, and a contributor to the iHeart Talk Radio Network. Guys, have you been to the doctors recently?
I actually have been to the actual doctor's office. Yes,
you have. Then did you hear the fax machine go off?
Right after his pager went off to go deliver a baby.
Hold on. Wait a second.
Oh, there it comes. Yep.
Hold on. Is that a fax machine or dial-up internet?
That's dial-up. That's dial-up. We have no dialing onto ICQ.
We have no prizes for you. But I will point out that Mike Haycook guessed it. That is because Laura is so young, she doesn't remember dial-up.
Yeah. What dial-up? What do you guys mean?
Yeah.
Tying up the phone line, having to get a second phone?
Isn't it? What other businesses? I'm sure there are tons of businesses that still have a fax machine. Fax machines are 80s technology. I remember my dad saying, oh, I can't fax this because I only have one copy. Nobody's going to argue that we need our healthcare system needs to get up to date, would they?
I couldn't believe this when I read this. Laura, I don't know if you feel the same way. That, you know, I thought it was a brilliant article because I knew that they still use faxes for some reason, but I never really thought about it. And then I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous that we're still using fax machines in 2023. You know, this is old technology. Like, have you heard of email? Have you, you know, like there's so many other things they could do other than this. Like, are you listening to your Walkman while you're you know, and your pager going off, so you have to run to the hospital? Yeah, please, ask the facts.
Your doctor's not taking a YouTube tutorial. They're like watching some Betamax thing before their operation. Sorry, Laura, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I remember like 15 years ago or so, I was running an organization and we had to do a rapid response thing on a crisis. So I said, can you please, you know, send out this message via email to the database of all the people in the organization? There's thousands. And they're like, well, we have to do it by fax broadcast. And like, so they were there for an entire day trying to get this thing out. And this was 15 years ago. I'm like, what the hell? How are we still on fax?
15 years ago, there wasn't a way to like enter in 1,000 numbers. You had to do it one at a time.
It took forever. Oh, and so I got to tell you that a couple of days ago, we saw a story that came out, right, that said that doctors are spending the thousands of hours on paperwork in a system where people are waiting, you know, months for appointments. And then we hear that they're using faxes. I can't think of another office where I've seen a fax. We've been paperless at Power Group for at least 5 years. Imagine a fax machine. So this is ridiculous. They should phase it out faster than that.
Not to mention that damn curly paper.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. What, and why can't you can put the normal paper in, but it comes out in that kind of shiny, useless paper anyway.
Horrible. Let's, and then it, maybe if we had it, like doctors type out an email for a prescription, we could actually read what they're actually prescribing you.
I will give Ford credit. I will give Ford credit on identifying this obvious issue that no one knew about and saying time to get rid of it. I mean, if we can just do that as a province, it'd be good.
Yep, I would agree. Toronto area man took it into his own hands to retrieve his stolen car, which he found. But police say it wasn't a great idea. I don't know if I had some sort of way to find my car, like an Apple tag in the trunk, or I'm guessing if you had OnStar, you could probably figure that out. And if there was nobody around and my fob worked, I would drive the thing away too, because in some of these cases, cops say, okay, we'll help you. And then, you know, it's hours and hours and hours, Laura.
Yeah, it's not a priority. And so when this guy heard his mom, so his mom was at Good Life, right? And they're working out and she left her keys in the locker and the car got stolen with all of his dad's stuff in it. And he didn't do vigilante justice or anything. He just drove around waiting for the cops to get involved, spotted the car and then called the cops and said he'd spotted the car and they got their stuff back. So it's not like he was being reckless. He just was thinking, well, I have eyes. I can drive another vehicle around and
look at this thing. Dumb way to steal a car. First of all, put a lock on your locker. Was there a lock on a locker? I can't remember when I read it, but put a lock on your locker. And the other thing would be like everybody who was at that gym probably had to swipe in or have their ID triggered by some sort of security. Anyway, would you drive your car home, Mike? And by the way, I just want to tell people that I'm not in, even though I said I would do it, I realize that the cops say it's a stupid idea. So do not listen to me. Lawsuits are not good for my soon to be hopefully spring buzz. Mike?
No, never listen to Jim's advice. that's always a good way to go. And I'm with you, Jim. I would do it if I had an air tag or if I had a way of finding my car and the cops were like, yeah, we'll get to it. One car is stolen every 48 minutes in Ontario. I don't think the cops are getting many of them back. So if I have a way to find it, and Laura, like you said, like the guy didn't like take them on in hand-to-hand combat to get his car back. Like, he was safe. He went there and then called the cops. I think he was very smart about it. So props to him. Got this car back, got these documents that were in the vehicle. All good.
Okay, yeah. Final takes from both Mike and Laura. Let's start with Laura Babcock from Power Group Communications and the O Show.
Right now, Hamilton City Council, literally at this moment, is in chaos. There are protesters who are in the council chambers demanding to be heard on the police services budget. And the reason for this and the reason for my rant is that police services are obviously important. There's always a lot of police stories we have to cover and the need for good policing. But these giant budgets that come into municipalities that don't get the same scrutiny as other budgets do. In fact, our mayor, Andrea Horvath, didn't even bother to show up to the police services board meeting on the budget. People feel as though they are not being heard and that these big budgets pass without any kind of scrutiny that no other organization can get away with. So I'm here for the police budgets being looked at carefully and being explained and justified.
Well said. Also, Mike, your turn.
Okay. I am here tonight after surviving a horrid weekend of a man cold, which I have been made fun of constantly.
I can hear it.
Yes. You can hear the stuffiness,
Did
right?
Did you work today?
No, I took this morning off. This is my test run if my voice is okay for tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And I have been eye-rolled by my significant other, Kelly, who gave me this cold. She has said she is leaving the bedroom one night on the weekend because of the moaning and the sighing that I was doing over my pain, over my man cold. And I did a little research on this. There was a Canadian researcher who says the man cold is real. Looked at mice, the gender differences, noted that infections tend to release a stress hormone. Females, he found, had a greater reaction than males, meaning the females suppressed the symptoms of an infection at a greater rate than male mice. Thus, the man cold is real. Wow. I suffer more than she does.
That is fantastic news. Okay, listen, I think we got
to take it, that. Laura?
We got to take that clip and we got to get Dr. Mitch on it.
Dr. Mitch.
Let's get Dr. Mitch on that. Laura, were you saying your eyes were rolling?
Oh, so much. It's painful. Okay. Please. The only reason women suppress it is we've got a million other things to do.
Okay. Listen, since we have a little extra time, I saw Carrie Schmidt, who's like the OPP spokesman earlier today. This is only for people living in Ontario. A lot of people, because they know that we don't have to pay for our sticker on our license plate any longer, in fact, there isn't one, think that they don't have to do something, which is register your car. Whole bunch of cars out there thinking, oh, no more stickers, don't have the register your car. You bunch of dummies, myself included, you have to register your car. I plan to do that tomorrow. Guys, have yourself a great night. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, you too. If I survive the week with my man call, I'll be back here Monday.
Good luck. How to not break up with your insurance company is next.
It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Here's your host, Jim Richards.
You're arguing with me while I'm just about to go on the air. I don't have time for the silly arguments. I can tell you a little bit of the backstory and the difficulties that we're having here at the iHeartRadio Talk Network currently. Major priority is Andrew, who's the technical operator on the show Mondays and Tuesdays, is upset that Tony, who is the content producer Monday through Friday, and we have a different technical board op on Wednesday, Friday. Yeah, I said that. Andrew is upset that Tony bought pizza for everybody on Friday when Andrew wasn't here. And I was trying to get in the middle of it and smooth things over. But Andrew, you really want pizza, right?
I wouldn't mind pizza, but that's...
You take it up with Tony. It wasn't a decision on my part. He was going at me, and I was like, don't look at me. Tony was the one who bought pizza. Anyway, we'll try to smooth that over, and we'll keep you up to date on how much of a job action Andrew may or may not take throughout the show, because he was not here the night that pizza was ordered. If there's anything new on that front, you'll hear it here first on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. Drama on News Talk Tonight. One of the most important things, I was reading the Toronto Star, and I know a lot of us will talk about insurance and, hey, who's got the best insurance? Hey, I just moved one area, not area code, I just moved one postal code, and my insurance went up and or down. But did you know, as much as you love them, that your insurance company could break up with you? And nobody wants that sad day when you have to, excuse me, when you have to break up with your insurance company. The guys in the other room actually thought I was crying. Did you really think I was crying? No, you didn't? Okay, never mind. All right, well, let's talk about this, because it is a serious problem for people who might wonder why my insurance company dropped us. From the Insurance Bureau Canada, the Director of Customer and Industry Relations is Anne-Marie Thomas, and she joins us right now. Anne-Marie, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me this evening.
Are you concerned about the Pizzagate here behind the scenes?
Well, I was just thinking, I was in the office the other day and I didn't have pizza.
Well, apparently it was a treat. Peter, or whatever his name is, Tony, bought pizza for anybody who was here on Friday. Could you tell us under what circumstances our insurance company might drop us?
Sure. So an insurance company can't just, non-renew your policy for no reason. So every insurance company in the province of Ontario has to file what are known as underwriting guidelines with the province. Mm-hmm. Now, an underwriting guideline means, you know, for new business, people must meet this criteria, you know, not be a high-risk driver, that sort of thing. And for renewals, there's a different set of criteria. And oftentimes, an insurance company will file with the province that if someone has more than two or more accidents in the last 5 years, they can non-renew that policy. So that's a very common underwriting guideline. And so I'm glad you're bringing this up because it's important to know. And again, it's another question that people can ask their insurance professional, you know, before they decide on a company. What are the guidelines under which an insurance company can, as you say, break up with me?
Yeah. But could that, I mean, is that just accidents? Because we have a lot of stories of people having their car stolen once and sometimes twice. I think our contributor, Scott Reed, much to the delight of our conservative listeners, gets his car stolen twice a year. And can that be a problem?
No, so something that's not at fault, you know, an insurance company can't hold that against you, right? What an insurance company can do, so if you have your vehicle stolen twice a year, an insurance company might say to you, since comprehensive is an optional coverage, it's not mandatory, we'll offer you every other coverage, but we're just not going to offer you theft coverage anymore.
No.
Because either, you know, like, why should they keep paying out on this same thing that keeps happening? So maybe people need to get Faraday boxes. Maybe they need to keep the car in the garage, or maybe they need, you know, we all have our sort of responsibility to mitigate as much damage as we can. Right?
Can I right now quote you as saying, get all of that crap out of your garbage and put the car in the garage?
I don't want hate mail.
Okay. Let me say it then. It will not be you being quoted. It will be me. Get that crap out of the garage and put your car in there. Also, I wonder if those Faraday pouches are a great way to go, but maybe a Faraday pouch and the good old school club. Has anybody had a old school club on your steering wheel and had it stolen? No. I doubt it.
Do you know what? Anything that you can do to make your car the car that the thieves don't want to touch, perfect. Right? They'll just move on to the easier car. So if everybody on your street puts a club, gets alarms, does all the good stuff, they're just going to go away. And eventually, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Right?
That guy with the unstealable club, the guy with the unstealable car that her sister station in Toronto did a report on, I think it had a club on it, and then it had a couple of wheel locks and the Faraday pouch. So the guy went above and beyond, but maybe you have to do that to make sure your car's not going to get stolen.
Well, like I say, anything that you can do to make your car less appealing to a potential thief, perfect.
Okay. My final question is, what is your advice to people? What are the tangible things that they can do to not be dropped by their insurance company? Is it essentially, hey, be careful, don't get in accidents?
No. Insurance companies are in the business of paying claims. They expect to pay claims, right? It's things like, something that's really important right now, because MTO is not sending out license renewals and sticker renewals, make sure you don't let your license lapse, right? Because you don't want to get a ticket for driving on a suspended license or an expired license, right? So any things that are within your control, watch your speed. Don't get any tickets. You know, be a good driver.
Yep.
And an insurance company has no reason to drop you, right?
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thanks so much for having me this evening.
Anne-Marie Thomas is the Insurance Bureau of Canada's Director of Customer and Industry Relations. I know what you're thinking. Isn't that a job you used to have? Exactly. In moments, we're going to talk to some people, and our heart goes out to the people of Turkey and Syria who may have experienced loss. The Turkish Society of Canada and what they're hearing from their friends and family back in Turkey and what might be needed. That is next. I'm Jim Richards. This is the iHeart Talk Radio Network and News Talk Tonight.